Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we give you everything. We give you our all, oh God. We give you our all, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Aren't you thankful for his presence? Amen. Well, there's three of you that's thankful for his presence. Amen. Yeah. Listen, let me tell you something right before we get started. I like for you to talk back to me, preacher. As a matter of fact, the more you talk back to me, the faster I'll preach. All right? The more you amen and hallelujah and say, preach that, come on, the faster we'll get out of here. See, you're slow, but you're worth waiting on. You're slow, but you're worth waiting on. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. And then once you get there, just kind of hold your finger or put a mark there, because I know a lot of you are turning your Bibles on right now rather than taking them out. I understand how that works. We're also going to read in 1 Kings chapter 19 first. Before we get into the Word, let me just let you know about a couple of things. We do have some product on a table out here in the foyer. We have 5 worship CDs that are out. I just brought one up here just to show you Simply Worship. We've got 4 other worship CDs that are out there. If you liked a little bit of what I heard, again, what you heard, you have to remember that my wife is normally singing with us, and she makes me sound better, makes me look a whole lot better. But we do have 5 worship albums out there that you can pick up, and so I hope that you'll stop by there. And if you love worship, if you love his presence, then I hope that you'll get something there. There are really 2 that I want to really let you know about, and I will tell you, last week we were in Midland at First Assembly there, and we've been traveling over the last several weeks, and so we have basically completely sold out of this product. As a matter of fact, the one I have in my hand is the last one that we have. We're waiting on the production of a new order to get finished, but let me tell you what this is. How many of you find it difficult every day to really get into the Word? Anybody? Right? We have one. Everybody else, you're reading the Word every day. That's awesome. I'm so grateful. I know for me, sometimes, even as a pastor, as a minister, I get so busy. Sometimes I get to the end of the day and I'm just like, oh, I really forgot to get into his Word. I really forgot to meditate on a scripture. And so for people that are really busy and sometimes you just really struggle to find that time to really get into his Word, to get an inspirational thought or a scripture, we developed what we call the Words for Life 30-day devotional. 30 devotions on CD, and this really helps because you can put this in your car, and every day when you get in while you're driving to work, you can put the CD in, listen to a devotional. You get a great scripture, maybe an inspirational story, just some thoughts behind it. There's some beautiful worship music playing behind my voice as I'm just kind of speaking and sharing God's Word. They range anywhere from about 2.5 minutes to 5 minutes long, and so if you struggle really to really get into the Word and get a Word from the Lord every day, this is something great to have. I will tell you that because it's the last one, if you want one, let us know. We will let you order, and we will make sure that you get one. The other thing that we have done is what we call a Words for Life Scripture CD. How many know that the Word of God is powerful? And the Lord really put on my heart that I believe that the two of the most powerful things that you can do is worship and get into the Word and speak the Word. And so we developed a Words for Life Scripture CD, and there are 4 tracks on the CD. Let me tell you about them. Track number 1, the CD is about 30 minutes long total. It's 30 minutes of just worship music and Scripture being read and Scripture being spoken. Track number 1 is nothing but Scriptures talking about direction. There are promises in God's Word for you that He promises to direct your steps, that He promises to guide you and to lead you. And so when you go to track number 1, if you're praying for a decision that you have made or needing to make, if you're praying for direction in your life, just throw track number 1 in and just let those Scriptures just fill your heart. It's amazing the strength and the hope and the trust that it builds in you, knowing that God's directing your steps. Track number 2 is all about provision. How many have ever gone through a time where you just didn't know how you were going to make ends meet? Track number 2 is all about God's promises that He will provide for every need that you have. So when you go through a season where you're struggling, God, how are we going to make this happen? How are we going to do that? Track number two will really speak to your heart and build your faith, because it's all scripture based on God's promises to provide. Track number three is all healing scriptures, about 10 minutes of healing scriptures that will just bless you, that will just bring the peace of God over your life and into your life, healing into your life. As a matter of fact, a couple of days ago, as my wife was laying in bed, really sick, we put this on, and we put track number three on healing scriptures, and we just let it repeat, and such a peace just came into the room, and her aches began to ease, and peace just began to cover her. She had been struggling to rest and sleep, and after a little while of just listening to the word of God in worship, she drifted off asleep. God built her strength, and so I know that will bless you. Track number four is all encouraging verses. If you are just discouraged, sometimes we go through discouragement, amen? And so when you get down and discouraged, track number four is all promises of God that will just really help bring encouragement and strength to you. So if you know somebody that needs one of these, pick up one of these for them. If you need one, grab one. I know it will be a blessing to you. Also, I know that we saw a lot of kids in here. We've got some neat little bracelets out there that's got Christian sayings on those, if you want to pick one of those up for the kids. Here's really the one that I want to talk about real quick. We survive by coming into churches and ministering, preaching on love offerings. Thank you so much for your giving. We so appreciate it. You don't understand how much we appreciate the giving of God's people into our ministry, but we also survive on what we call kingdom partners. We have asked individuals, families, and even churches in general are coming alongside of us and saying, hey, we really do believe in what God has called you to do. We know that it's important for our ministers, our pastors, our missionaries to be ministered to and poured into. We believe in the cause, and so we want to come alongside of you, partner with you as a monthly kingdom partner. We want you to know we'll pray for you monthly, but we also want to support you with monthly financial giving. It's if you are interested in doing that or want to know more about that, pick up one of these cards, meet me out there at the table, and I will tell you a little more about it. We make it very easy for you to be able to give. You can do it all online if you want to, so that it's a little more convenient. But if you don't stop by the table for any other reason, just stop by to say hello. I'd love to meet you. Love to find out what your name is, although I may not remember it. But would love just to be able to chat with you for a few minutes. Are you ready for the word? I hope you are, because I am. I want to talk to you today. If you were a note taker, and they're going to hopefully follow along with me. Sometimes I get off track, so just pray for me. But I want to talk to you today on the topic of make it a double. Make it a double. We were in the car the other day last week, and a matter of fact, we were leaving Lubbock. We were headed to Midland last week, and we thought we would stop and get a burger at Sonic before we left town. And my daughter Jocelyn said, I just want a number one. I just want a Sonic cheeseburger. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then my son said, I said, Christian, what do you want? And he said, I want what she wants, but make it a double. I want a double cheeseburger. So we got him a double. And so I want to talk to you today about making it a double. Here's the story. There's the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament in 1 Kings. We read about Elijah. Elijah was an incredible, incredible prophet, incredible man of God. How many know the story of Elijah? Just kind of wave at me like this. Say, I know, Pastor. Thank you. I appreciate that. And so Elijah is getting ready to be taken away to heaven. And so God tells him, I want you to go and find Elisha. Elisha is going to be the one to take your place as my prophet once I take you to heaven. And so that's the short story. We're going to read about it right here. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning reading in verse number 19. This is what it says. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his mantle around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? Verse 21 says, so Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Now flip over to 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 9. Look at your neighbor and tell him, just hold on, he's going somewhere. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 9. When they had crossed, this is talking about the Jordan River. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said, yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise it will not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire, of horses, of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Look at verse number 13 and 14. Elisha picked up Elijah's mantle that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah, he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Here's what happens. Elijah and Elisha go to the Jordan. Elijah takes his garment, his mantle, his cloak, folds it up, strikes the water. The Jordan divides. They walk over. Elijah is then taken up into heaven in chariots of fire. His mantle falls to the ground. Elisha picks it up, folds it up, strikes the river Jordan, it again parts again, and Elisha walks back across by himself on dry ground, and Elisha is now the prophet of God. Now, here's what I want to point out to you. Elisha wanted a double portion of what Elijah had. That's what he wanted. That's what he told Elijah. I want a double portion of your spirit. Now we're going to talk about that, but before we do, I need some help with something. I need somebody to help me. And can you would you come help me? Was your name Colvin? Jeremy. Jeremy, come help me for a minute. Jeremy, are you hungry? Yes. Jeremy is hungry. Jeremy, do you like Snickers? Come over here, Jeremy. I have a Snickers bar right here, and walk up here with me so everybody can see how good looking we are. I have a Snickers bar here, and I want you to verify this for me. But inside this Snicker bar is milk chocolate. See that? Peanuts. Caramel. I have to say caramel because my daughter says if I say caramel, it gets on her nerves. So caramel, and you can't really see that whole word, but that's nougat. Right there. Milk chocolate, peanuts, caramel, and nougat. Doesn't that sound good? Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you take this Snickers right now and just go right back over there where you were sitting, and would you eat that Snicker bar for me? Just right now? I give you permission. And when you're done, just sit there. Now, don't mess up the package. Try to keep the package in place, because if I can keep the package in place, especially that barcode, Walmart will take it back. Right? Y'all know I'm just joking, right? Praise the Lord. So now let me get back to my story here. We're going to get back to the Snickers here in just a moment, because Snickers really satisfies, right? So here's what happens. Elisha says to Elijah, I want a double portion. Make it a double. I want a double of what you have. And Elijah said, if you see me when I'm taken up, it'll be yours. So Elisha saw Elijah as he was taken up in a chariot of fire. And so Elisha has the double portion. As a matter of fact, when you read scripture, and we're not going to go all the way through it, when you really study the story of Elijah and Elisha, you find out that Elijah, with prophecies that he spoke and that were fulfilled, Elijah performed 14 miracles. Say 14 miracles. Elijah performed 14 miracles. When you read the story and study the life of Elisha, you find out that Elisha performed 28 miracles. Exactly double of what Elijah did. So he got that double portion of his spirit. And when we read that story, we connect that double portion of Elijah that Elisha got, we connect it with Elijah's mantle that fell from heaven. Since I was a little kid growing up in church, Here was my way of thinking. And if you know this story, I don't know if you will agree with me or not, but here's what I have always thought since I was a little kid. When I first heard this story, here's what I thought. Elisha wanted a double portion. And so when Elijah was taken up into heaven and his mantle fell down to the earth, when Elisha picked that mantle up, boom, he received that double portion. How many of you have thought that? Just be honest with me. If you know the story, have you ever thought that? Anybody? I'm the only one. Thank you. I want to give you a little bit of different perspective today of where that double portion came from. I want you to see something different today. And so, Pastor Chris, would you help me out? Could you come up here just for a second? Here's what I want you to see. We read in 1 Kings chapter 19, that when Elijah found Elisha, Scripture says, let me scroll back here, and so you can see it. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th. Elijah went up to him and threw his mantle around him. Right? You're my witness. So here's what happens. I am Elijah. He's going to be Elisha. So here's what happens. When Elijah finds Elisha, the first thing that he did is he walks up to him before he even says anything to him. Elijah walks up to Elisha, and don't worry, these are brand new from Dollar General this morning. I didn't use it last night for the shower, okay? So Elijah, as soon as he finds Elisha, he comes up and he throws his cloak around him, right? Now let's fast forward to 2 Kings chapter 2. The Bible says after they cross the Jordan, Elijah is taken up. And guess what falls from heaven? Elijah's mantle, right? Elijah's taken up, and all of a sudden from heaven falls Elijah's mantle. What does Elisha do? Elisha goes and picks it up. That's portion number one. This is portion number two. You see, Elisha already had a portion. Elisha already had anointing on his life before he even knew it. As a matter of fact, you don't read anything else about Elisha until Elijah is taken up. 2 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 19, we are introduced to Elisha. The scripture says nothing else about his apprenticeship. I'm kind of a Star Wars fan, you know, right? The Bible says nothing about his apprenticeship until 2 Kings chapter 2. You don't read anything else about Elisha until 2 Kings chapter 2 when Elijah is taken up and then Elisha gets that second mantle. See, he already had one mantle, but then when Elijah was taken up, he received the second. That's portion number one. That's portion number two. Now, just stay with me. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it. I'm going to take these. No Snickers. I'm sorry. I just gave my last one away. I want to talk to you about this just for a moment. Just stay with me because we are headed something. You see, here's what I want you to know. There are those of you that are sitting in this room this morning and you're thinking, how could God ever use me? I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to give. I want you to understand that there is already anointing on your life. There is already a presence of God on your life. How do I know that? If you've accepted Jesus into your heart and into your life, would you lift your hand? If you say, I declare that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I know him as my personal Lord and Savior, raise your hand. Okay, you can put it down. I want you to understand that you already have portion number one of the anointing in your life. I'm going to show you how right here. You ready? Acts chapter 10, verse number 38 says this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. How many know that's anointing? It says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Did you read that? Is it still up there? How God anointed. Somebody say anointed. So Jesus had the anointing. Are you with me? Say amen if you are. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. Look at Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living where? In you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Watch this. Because of his spirit who lives where? In you. Look at your neighbor and say, his spirit lives in you. Now look at 1 John 2:27. Watch this. I love this. You need to make a note of this scripture. If you don't know this scripture, you need to learn it. Let me paraphrase it for you right here. It says this. The anointing you have received from him is still in you. It's still there. It teaches you all things, and it is real. Let me say that again. The anointing that you have received from him, it is still in you. It teaches you all things, and it is real. If you finish out reading the scripture, it also says it is not counterfeit. It is not fake. It is real. Now, I want you to see something. Jeremy, come back up here and bring that package back up here. Did you just enjoy that? Did I just become your, like, most favorite evangelist of all time? See? So how many of you are angry with me that I didn't bring enough for everybody? You have to forgive me to make it to heaven. Let's just recap. Was that good? I think I saw him licking the package. Let's recap of what is in Snickers. Milk chocolate. Did you taste that? Man, it's awesome, isn't it? Peanuts. Protein. Let's say protein. Helps really satisfy you for a longer period of time. Caramel. Good stuff. And nougat. Probably my least favorite of the four. But hey, it's good, right? So, yeah, it helps, doesn't it? So, we have told you the ingredients that is in Snickers, right? Milk chocolate, peanuts, caramel, nougat. Everything that was in this Snicker is now in him. Right? I'm going to give that back to you. Go home and hang it on your wall or something. That's right. There you go. Here's what I want you to see. Everything that was in that Snicker bar is now in Jeremy. Which means that everything that was in Christ, when you accepted Christ into your heart, everything that was in Christ is now in you. The anointing that God placed on Christ, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth to do incredible things, and we know the miracles that Jesus did. How he opened blinded eyes. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. That same anointing, because it dwelt in Christ, and because you asked Christ into your life, guess what? Whatever it was that was in Jesus now dwells in you. That's portion number one. Portion number two. Let's talk about portion number two. Portion number two happens on the day of Pentecost. Portion number two is what we call the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole... Where did it come from? It came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, or portion number two, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That is portion number two. I'm going to correlate all this with you here in just a moment. You see, here's what happens. Everything that Jesus did, that same anointing that enabled and empowered Jesus to do all the miracles that he did. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart and into your life, not only now do you become a son or a daughter, a child of God, and do you inherit eternal life, but now everything that resided in Christ now resides in you. That's just mind-blowing to me. I don't care where you sit in church. I don't care whether you sit on the front row, which most people don't, or whether you sit way back here on the back row. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, what resided in him now resides in you. Just kind of elbow your neighbor right now and tell him it's in you. Tell him it's in you. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. Now listen, let me remind you what Jesus told his disciples before he was taken to heaven. He said, if I don't go, I cannot send the Comforter. Right? Which is the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus said, if I don't go, I can't send the Holy Spirit to you. But because I am going up, I will send the Holy Spirit down. Jesus ascended to heaven, and the Holy Spirit came from heaven. You just said it with me, what the Word of God said just a little while ago. Where did it come from? It came from heaven. The Holy Spirit came and filled them. Portion number two. Portion number one is the anointing of Christ that you receive when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. See, here's the thing you have to understand. When you ask Christ to come into your heart, you're already walking in power. You already have that first portion of anointing and power operating in your life. But then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's anointing, that's power on a six-pack of Red Bull. Right? Come on, somebody. See, here's what Jesus was saying. You've already gotten the anointing and the power that I have, but you're also going to receive more power, which is why Jesus said in John 14:12, truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Watch this. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, listen, you've already got the anointing and the power that was in me, in you. But wait, there's more. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to leave that anointing and power that's already in you, but I'm going to send another power into your life so you have a double portion of what I had, so that you can do greater things than I did. Come on, somebody help me preach this morning. Somebody ought to be giving him praise right now. Somebody yell out, make it a double. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says this, but you will receive power. This is Jesus talking. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, because I live inside of you, everything that was in me is now in you, but also I'm going to send you power from on high when I'm taking up the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a double portion. The word power in the Greek is dunamis. It means miraculous power. It means might, strength, and marvelous works. What do we need power for? What's that power for? It's to live a godly life. It's to be able to live the godly life. Don't tell me, well, I just couldn't say no to the temptation. Yes, you can. Because there is power in you. Jesus lived a sinless life. He did not sin one time. Doesn't mean that he wasn't tempted. You can't say that every time Jesus got up in the night and stumped his toe on that wooden chair that he had been working on, he didn't want to yell something out that was unpleasing to God. I mean, Jesus didn't, you know, when he stumped his toe, he didn't say, oh, well, bless God, that was awesome. I really enjoyed that. Right? He was just like me and you. He felt all the infirmities. When he stumped his toe, I'm sure he was just like, oh, King Jehoshaphat. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you're helping me through this. Right? He lived a sinless life. What caused him to live a sinless life? What was inside of you? What was inside of him? And guess what? What was inside of him is inside of you. So you have what it takes to live a godless, a God-filled life. You have what it takes to live a life full of God already inside of you. Because what was in Christ is in you. Somebody say hallelujah. But now here's the thing. You have the opportunity to receive a double portion. Not only to live a godly life, but to overcome life's problems, to fulfill God's plans and purposes for your life, to be a witness for Christ. You see, Elisha already had the anointing the day that he met Elijah. He already had it. Why? We never focus on mantle number one. We always talk about mantle number two. We always talk about the one that fell from heaven. But you see, Elisha already had portion number one the day Elijah found him. Right? See, here's the thing. Elisha had to start using the anointing. See, he already had portion number one. Portion number two came when Elijah was taken up, the mantle fell from heaven. Elisha had three choices. He had three different things that he could have done. Number one, he could have said, Elijah is gone. That's all that's left from him. You know, oh well. And went home and left it laying there. Right? He could have said, Elijah's gone. I'm going to miss him. But hey, look. There's his coat. That's the second one he gave to me. And took this home. Put it up on his wall in a shadow box with Elijah's name engraved on a really cool golden plaque underneath. Mantle of Elijah, number two. And just left it in a room. Or he could have done what he did. He could have picked it up, remembered what Elijah did with it, folded up, walked to the Jordan, strike the water. Where is the God of Elijah? And the waters parted. You see, Elisha had to choose to use the power that he had received. Come on, am I talking to anybody today? You see, Elisha was already a presence carrier. He was already a presence carrier. Why? Because of mantle number one. He was already a presence carrier. But how many know there's a difference between being a presence carrier and a presence user? I could walk around with the president of the United States all day long if I was able to, right? I could be in his presence. There's a difference between being in somebody's presence and allowing the presence to take control of your life and using the presence for his glory. Can I just preach for just a moment? Is it all right? Is that okay? If I just preach for a moment here, because here's the thing. We love to come into church and here's, I'm not saying that this is happening in this church, but here's what I have seen happening, the church worldwide. We love to come into the church and we love to feel his presence, right? We felt his presence today when the worship team led us into the presence of God, right? The worship team anointed presence carriers, right? But here's the problem with the church today. Here's the problem with Christians today. We love to feel the presence of God. And if we come into church and we enter into worship and we can feel something, we think, oh, that's awesome. And we walk out and say, ooh, we had church today. We felt something. And we get the older generation would say it like this. I'm hooked on a feeling. Right? We get hooked on a feeling. Now, the newer generation would say it a little bit like, I got this feeling down in my bone. Right? I'm no JB, but, you know, help me out here. Here's the problem with the church today and with Christians today. We're hooked on a feeling. And as long as we can feel something, we think we're all right. But the question is when you feel the presence of God, are you just going to be a presence carrier or are you going to be a presence user? In other words, what are you going to do with the presence of God that you feel when you come in? What are you going to do with the presence of God that you feel when you spend time with Him in your quiet time on a daily basis? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to allow it to do in your life and through your life? It's more than just feeling His presence. We feel His presence. It's His glory that is the action part of His presence. Because the word glory is His manifested presence. When the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea, when Elijah and Elisha walked through the Jordan, it was the glory of God. Why? Because His presence was manifested. You could see it in action. And that's what we're lacking today as a church. We're too hooked on a feeling. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to start seeing the action of His presence. I want to see the glory of God in action again in my life and in the church of God. Come on, somebody give Him praise. We come into church and we sing these awesome songs, you know, that just, you know, if they flow to the left and then, you know. Or the song Fullness. I love that song, Elevation. I love that. I love Fullness and There Is a Cloud and Do It Again. And such a great album. But here's the thing. I'm not knocking on any song because I believe that they're all anointed. But here's the problem. I don't care what generation you come from. If you're not careful, you'll worship a song more than you'll worship God. You'll love a song more than you will love on God. And that's where the worship... I'm going to tread on thin ice right here. Is that okay? Can I do that? If I fall through, will somebody save me? That's the reason why we have worship wars in the church today. Are you ready? Here we go. Is that camera on? Is this being recorded? Is it live? Is it streaming live? Awesome. Because... Pastor's watching? Awesome. Awesome. Here's the deal. Here's why we have worship wars in the church. Because people love songs more than they love God. Come on, I'm just speaking truth. I don't like that song. I can't get into worship with that song. But if you'll play this song, if you'll sing this song, oh, now that's when I can feel something. Well, that's fine. You can feel all day long, but when are you going to do something? And that's why we have worship wars in the church, is because people love songs more than they love God. I could just drop the mic right there and walk off. Right? We got to get past the feelings. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight or by feelings. Why don't we walk or live by the way that we feel? Because feelings can get hurt. There's not a married person in this room that can say every day of my married life, I have woken up and said, praise God, I feel like being married and serving 100% my spouse today. There's not one working person in this place this morning that wakes up every day and says, woohoo, I feel like going to work today. right? But what do you do when you wake up and you don't feel like going to work? You still get dressed. You still put your shoes on, right? You still get dressed. You may murmur and complain a little bit. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like doing this project. I don't feel like doing like this. I don't feel like talking to those people at work today. I don't feel. Stop being hooked on a feeling. You're not going to always feel it. And just because you don't feel God doesn't mean that God is not there, because the anointing that you have received from Him is still in you. It teaches you all things, and it is real. Let me talk about these two mantles real quick. When Elijah found Elisha, he went up to him. And the first thing he did was he threw his mantle around him. You see, what Elijah was doing was, Elijah was saying, hey, here's a portion of my spirit. Do you want it? See, the first mantle was all about seeing if he wanted it. The first time was to see if he wanted it. The second time was to see if he would use it. See, the first time Elijah saw Elisha, he put his first mantle on him. He found him. He was plowing. Right? We read it in Scripture. He was plowing. Elijah comes walking down the road, and there's Elisha out in the field. On Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer, right? Plowing the field. It was the family business. He was just doing what he does. He was just living life. And Elijah came up to him and threw the presence of God on his life and said, do you want the presence? It's the same thing Jesus did when he came and found you when you were just doing life. You were just going to work, plowing your field, so to speak, raising your family, going to work, bringing home that paycheck, not living for God, and Jesus came and found you, loved you, offered you grace and mercy and forgiveness, and said, do you want it? Do you want eternal life? Right? But now here's the thing. Jesus was taken up and he sent us the Holy Spirit. See, the first time Jesus gave us power was to see if we wanted it. Do you want to serve him? Do you want to live for him? But the second time was to see if you would use it. Because you see, here's what happens. Jesus comes and he finds us. And like the prodigal son, he throws a robe on us and puts a ring on his hand, on our hands, and God says, he is mine now. He marks us with what's inside of him. He offers us his presence. And here's the thing. Here's what happens. Jesus tells his disciples, I have to go, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You see, here's what happened. Elijah gives Elisha the mantle. And then when Elijah is taken up, portion number two comes down. Jesus said, I have to go. He ascended to the Father. And then the Holy Spirit, portion number two, say it with me, came down. Are you seeing the correlation here now? When you were saved, it was to see if you wanted Christ. But now there's an opportunity to see if you will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, make it a double. Lord, I want a double. Lord, I want a double. Praise the Lord. You see, I don't want to live with just the single. I want to be like my son. Make it a double. I want what they have, but I want more. I want more. I want that power to do remarkable things, miraculous things. I want that power to do what God has called me to do. And the double portion is available for you today. And so all over this place, I want to ask you just to stand right now, right where you are.